Good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tack. It's Monday, the 8th day of March 2021. I'm David Ellis. I'm going to be with you up until 2 o'clock today. I've been away for a week or so, and quite a lot has happened since I was last with you. Certainly, I've had a lot of comments, commendations, and congratulations from so many people on having reached the stage of my retirement from Starcom Network Inc. That means now I'm on my own. So in those circumstances, you know, you got to treat me with a certain degree of kid's gloves. You can't rough me up the way you were doing before. And, you know, I'm more gentle and more fragile than I was before on this program. But let's see if it really works out like that. I know a lot of you got a lot to say. There's much that has been happening around us. Are we watching the COVID trend? We're hoping that the numbers come down. They appear to have come down a bit, but you know how it is with COVID. One minute it looks as though everything is under control. The next, you can get a spike. So on the positive side, we have seen quite a number of people opting for vaccinations. Again, we have had some difficulties with the rollout of these vaccines. We are being tested quite a bit when it comes to this whole question of the management and the implementation of processes in this country. And, you know, I sincerely hope that coming out of it, we are taking notes. Every year, we sit down and we talk about planning for a disaster. We plan for a hurricane. But for a long time, there was the warning that all disasters don't come in the form of hurricanes. And here is a different approach now. Here's a different type of disaster that has struck. And the question is, how are we going to prepare ourselves for the future? If you listen to people like Bill Gates, they tell you that another pandemic is around the corner. What are the notes that we are taking? What is the manual that we are developing to deal with this? How much of it is born out of a systemic approach? And how much of it comes out of the head of a couple of people who decide they want it this way or they want it that way? And if a spike comes that is more significant than the one that we have had recently, how are we going to do things in a different way? I mean, at the end of all of this, we are working towards improvement. We're trying to look for systems. We're looking to make sure that we don't make the same mistakes again. So join me for this edition of Down to Brass Tacks. Welcome to the first caller today.
Hello, hi. Good morning, David.
Yes, good morning.
How are you?
I'm well.
How you been enjoying the relaxation? Because I know that you can't go on vacation, so the little relaxation.
It's fine.
Good. Now, I know over the years you don't like the program to be about you. And one could understand that, right?
Yeah.
Could I go to say something about David, the moderator? That
well,
I experienced over the years?
You go ahead.
David, okay, a lot of praises and a lot of congratulations messages have been shower on you in that program, right? And you would notice that we, the callers, did not get the chance to say farewell. I want to take this opportunity, but I'm not going to be long at all, right? And because you just can't drop like that without giving people a chance to say something. I always say, and I don't want to think, I always say that, David, on a good day, you can't touch the man. However, what I like about David Ellis, the moderator, you would got a robust debate, a robust fight, you know, on the air with David. But you know, the very first very next time you call the man turn a fresh page and ready to do it all over again the way it should be done. That's why I admire most of you and in your career, really. What is outstanding? I remember the Tom Adams interview. I remember the marble tub when Tom Adams said, well, I'm a long man, so I need length. You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Good. Now, what stands out, though, for me, as David Ellis, the moderator, you was going so good that Friday. I think it was a Friday. If not Friday, Monday. And you get a call from a guy from his hospital bed, a man called Raji Foster. David, how you handle all that there? How you been able to cope with that program after that call?
Well, that was a touching call. But, I mean, I suppose I was guided to a large extent by the principles associated with trying to keep it as professional as possible. But in the break, it really touched me. But there have been calls like that. There have been programs like that over the years. Quite a lot that can be wrenching.
Not quite like that one. That's true. I remember you did a program. I think you did it from the late Wendell McLean House, right? That also was
special, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. But this one just gets spring by. At least you know you're going to Wendell McLean House, right? But
that's
this
correct.
This one was very different, and I changed the whole mold of the program that day. And I was glad that a person like you with the experience was on, you know, to channel the chip, so to speak. However, enough of that. Anyway, I want you to enjoy your retirement, though.
Thank you very much.
And I know people have been saying there's big and better things for you, but take it in stride and anything that David Ellis get, anything that you receive, I think you richly deserve, though. And I say so from the bottom of my heart. However, let me move on to this thing. I try to strike up a conversation with Larry Mears, but it didn't really get off the ground. I know that you capable, not that saying that he's not, but I know that you capable of putting your own spin to it. We hear last week the COVID unit shut down the pleasure rooms, right?
Yeah.
But David, the COVID unit or the head of the COVID unit should know that the pledge rooms are safe, clean. From when I used many moons ago, I don't indulge now in that sort of life. But I just thinking about the people who want that kind of discreet comfort. Because in Barbados, cat roads and in the bush, I think those days are long past. And if you really care about somebody, if you and somebody want to be together for a few hours, you know, in a safe surrounding, I personally call when I get hook up anyhow, when I get link anyhow. I think, you know, I am not flying in the face of the COVID unit, but I just looking out for my brothers and sisters that really ain't got no another alternative different to going in the bush or in the cat road. What says you?
Well, the first thing that strikes me is that you have said that you no longer do it, and therefore...
No, I don't have to go to a room these days.
No, understood.
I remember going to a room...
Understood. But I want to suggest to you that what might have happened many moons ago may not obtain right now. So you have to be up to date in your assessment as to whether these rooms are as tidy and as neat and stuff as you suggest. But let's assume that what you've said is correct. You still got to come back to the basic principle here that the objective of the COVID unit is to try its best to minimize the extent to which people are exposed to COVID. And the most effective way to be exposed is to be intimate. So, Everybody wants a break. Everybody wants some exception to be made for them. And there are a lot of people who are very annoyed about the fact, for instance, one person said to me only yesterday that they rent from a landlord who they cannot sell certain items, but the landlord is able to sell the very items that they sell.
Mm-hmm.
That landlord competes with them every day, but especially now with COVID, they're shut, but the landlord is open and is able to sell the things that they sell. So they say, but that shouldn't be. You know, what are we supposed to do for a whole month?
You're talking about commercial. All this period. You're talking commercial,
right.
David.
Commercial. So okay. No. But my point to you is that it is everybody is looking for an exception. Everybody wants to get a break away from what is required here. And I want to concede that there are some inconsistencies and feelings of discrimination. But let's come back to what is the ultimate objective here. The ultimate goal is to minimize the spread of COVID in a situation where you and I don't know how many variants are here.
I could quite agree, David. David, like I said, I'm not flying in the face of the COVID unit, but you list a lot of things that people got to have, right? But people that are sexually active must have sex too, you know? And these same people, these same couples or girlfriend, boyfriend that live separate apart, they go to the supermarket, they go to the theater, theater.
This isn't just, you know, this isn't just boyfriend, girlfriend either. You know, full well.
I've seen people
online advertising themselves in this regard. Prostitutes
I am
are
not
advertising as well.
I am talking about people. I'm talking about people who can't. It's not convenient to go out. Don't want it.
Well, I remain. I remain focused on the principle that is being defended here. The principle which is being used by the COVID unit is that we want to minimize such contact. And, you know, basically they're saying you will have to go through that for a period, but it is safer to do it this way than to find yourself in a situation where you are exposed and then you end up down at Harrison Point or in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital or somewhere else with a ventilator helping you to breathe.
Just for clarity,
David. That's the position.
David, I can go now, but just for clarity, I made this call on behalf of two friends of mine, okay? Thanks a lot.
But I'm very glad that you have clarified the fact that it is not your call, but it is their call. And I think most people who listen to you will take it in that stride. This is down to brass tacks.
Yeah. Hello,
yeah,
morning.
Welcome to the program. Hi.
You're retired or you're not retired, right? Anyhow, all the
I'm retired from Starcom, but I'm not tired from work.
I was just being mischievous. I see Miss Andy said they got a new auntie. She called the program. You cannot tell who that auntie is. What role is the Rebecca's playing in this? He was chairman of something.
He's chairman of the Caribbean Examinations Council.
We're going to tell you something, right? It is not going to resolve in the children's favor. I say you're a journalist, do your research. It is not going to resolve in the children's favor. Of people to get rid of petty differences and come together, put pressure on the Ministry of Education or on the Ministries of Education throughout the region.
Do what aspect of the problem are you talking about?
The exams, what happened last year and going on to this year before having the problem resolved. You have to do something about the gentleman that's mentioned. and the ministries of education. The reason I have to come together on behalf of those children, all this fancy talk that has been going on, you say that it's not working, take it to another level. I will call you and I will tell you why I say that. I'm not going to say it on here, although it is true.
All right, sir. Down to brass tacks. Down to brass tacks. Good morning. It's 19 minutes after 10.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, morning, sir.
Greetings and salutations to your good staff. Let me begin my today's contribution by first congratulating all women today, wishing them all a happy International Women's Day. This year's Women's International Day will go down in history as we commend those women who are frontline workers, especially those in the healthcare sector, as COVID-19 has challenged the world, having no respect for class, color, or creed. Thanking our astute leader, the Honourable Mayor Amor Motley QC MP, the Prime Minister of Barbados. Margaret Thatcher, a former British Prime Minister, has proved to the world that when women are in Parliament, international countries change their policies after that famous statement that she made, quote, when you want something said, ask her, man. When you want something done, get the woman, end of quote. Secondly, sir, as soon as the season of Lent steps in, it brings along the annual nuisance of kite flying by night. That is a concern to residents. And like a recurring decimal, Sergeant Seabrook Johnson of the Royal Barbados Police Force pleaded kite flyers not to stare out their kites by night. However, the Gunny Sergeant privilege and authority already.
Listen, you come on the air sometimes and you make some statements that you need to be very careful with. This question of being undermined. Explain what you are talking about.
How about you see, sir, you remember it had been said then that there was no report to him that they were, that kite flying was a nuisance.
Okay.
However, let me publicly congratulate Sergeant Seabrook Johnson in the true sense of the word, an advocate for community policing, for his fully aware, generous helpers make a point without making an enemy. And in conclusion, sir, my heart is filled with ecstasy to hear you this morning as source for the program. I know quite a number of callers will be asked to show their appreciation to you directly and not to another moderator, which I have done. I shall never forget that interview you had and Mr. Stepson Bob, the former Commissioner of Police, Mr. Oven Juan. And I will also say that you were quite positive when you had introduced lawyer on call and doctor on call. I take this opportunity, Mr. Ellis, to wish you a long and a healthy retirement.
But thank you very much. But just let me correct something here. I didn't introduce lawyer on call and doctor on call. They were introduced in the period that Julian Rogers was program director of Voice of Barbados. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Ms. Ellis.
Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Okay. I have two concerns that I would like to raise with you this morning. And
sure.
I am welcoming you back on the program. I hope that you continue to do the good work that you're doing, and may God continue to bless you.
Thank you very much.
A special good morning to all the women in Barbados, and we start with our Governor General, Prime Minister, and all the ministers in Cabinet and whatnot on this International Women's Day, not forgetting the mothers that are out there on their own struggling. I hope that they have a good day. Now, my concern is with the vaccine. We have some persons that were told to register if you need the vaccine. And after registering early, some of them have not got an appointment. Then they said they were going to do the seniors and persons with the morbidities. I have someone who made the both appointments, and I saw in the paper yesterday and I heard that they were closing off, and that person have not yet got an appointment. I want to know if they are continuing with the persons at home, because in the final analysis, I am one of the persons that got two calls for appointments, and I had registered after some other persons. I know things happen. Nothing is no system is perfect. But if you are a person that have the diabetes, the hypertension, all the things they talk about, and you made an appointment and you're waiting every day, that is not helping your blood pressure because it's going up. You have relatives in your home who have to go to work, and they're back and forth, and you're concerned about your health. So I just would like to ask the Ministry of Health a question this morning. What is the position with those persons that you are supposed to visit at home who cannot? You ask if they have transportation. Some of them cannot. They have amputations and things like that. There are some that are seniors in their 80s, and they have nobody to bring them. You had promised they came over, and some names I know went on a list expecting persons to visit them, and they have not heard anything. So those persons are concerned. So I would like if they could just let us know if you're going to be visited next week, this week, whatever, or if they have to wait, if all the vaccines are out and they have to wait till a new batch come, whatever. But if you know where you're heading, it will make life a little easier. So
yes, we'll have to wait and hear from them on that.
Yes, because that it definitely is a problem. Then some persons want to register last week and things like that, then the system, they tell you it was down or something like that. I had a lady in her 80s. I spoke to her after Friday night, and she was concerned about that. Her son was trying to get her on and something about that system. So, you know, if they just tell you this, what is happening, you will feel a lot better.
There's something else that they need to clarify as well. There are some people who were in the first wave of those taking the vaccine.
Yeah.
At that time, those people were told that they would have to come back in 4 weeks.
Yes, for the
It was subsequently
shot.
Pointed out
yeah.
that the vaccine works better if you go back for the booster. I think it's within 8 to 12 weeks or so.
Yeah.
And in those circumstances, the people want to know what's going to happen. How are they going to be rescheduled? So I think that is something, somebody told me that there might have been something in the Government Information Service on this, and I'm looking to see what there is. But I know that there are people who are questioning what is going mm-hmm. to happen when
their time comes up,
and they are around the corner. This second shot is supposed to be just around the corner for them. I believe it's this week or something like that. So they need to know exactly what is happening in
yes,
that regard
I saw,
as well.
I saw on TV, on the television a night in the week, someone was explaining that it worked. You could wait for 8 to 10 weeks to get the second shot. So I don't know if they were answering to that or whatnot. But there are certain things that if you know what to expect, it takes the strain and the worry.
To be rescheduled.
You know, right. The next thing, week before last, I heard on the same broadcast that the headlines, and someone spoke about it, but on the headlines this morning in the news, Barbados is taken over by bed bugs, something like that. And I don't know what they'd be thinking when they do that type of headline, sensationalize it. But for me, if I was traveling to an island or a country and I heard that they were taken over by bed bugs, I'd be so, if I could cancel or if I wouldn't worry to book, I wouldn't want to go to a hotel or anything, not knowing where I can put my head on a pillow or a bed that is taken over by bed bugs. And I think when you're going to write headlines, I think you've got to study that it's going all over the world. And that wouldn't do us no good at this time.
Well, if it were true, it would make no sense hiding that truth. If
yeah,
it were true. But I don't believe that Barbados is overrun by bed bugs.
Right, so that's what I'm saying
now. That is not true.
Right, so I'm saying now, I know in the 60s, I worked at Colgate and Palmolive. And they had a liquid, it used to, it was called, and it was like the color like kerosene oil. And it was, our head office was in Trinidad. And I was wondering if we really have a problem, if the health ministers or whatever can check with Colgate and Palmolive. They should have some data or something stored from all that time, to, at least to know what the mixture was. Because I can tell you, it was sold and we eradicated the bed bugs in that. Because bed bugs definitely was prevalent when I was growing up as a child.
And but bed bugs have been a recurring problem in recent times, though.
Yes, but so I'm wondering if they couldn't check and see if they get that thing. And I was trying to get through to Larry, as he said, who his sponsor was. And I know that they're normally sell insecticides and things like that. If in some way they could check, maybe something, it was a simple looking liquid that we used to sell in a bottle. And at that time, they used to have it like in a rum flask, that flask bottle. And it wasn't expensive, but it worked. So I'm hoping that
right.
We can do certain things to keep, you know, Barbados as healthy as possible. Thank you, and you have a good
thank
day.
You very much. Right. And here's a clarification. The Ministry of Health and Wellness had put out a statement informing all Barbadians and permanent residents who received their first dose of the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine that the second dose or booster would be due in 10 to 12 weeks from the date of the first injection. They pointed out that this was based on new scientific information from AstraZeneca, indicating the efficacy of the vaccine was significantly increased if there was a longer period between the first and second dose. However, that was new information, but tell you the truth, people who are in the know will tell you that that was known from up front. There was nothing new about that, all right? Having said that, you still have to put in place for those people who were scheduled based upon the first vaccine to go a second time, they still would be seeking some clarity as to what is required of them. Do they just turn up because they were expected to go earlier at the four-week period? Do they make an appointment? What is the process that is to be employed in dealing with this issue? That is what needs to be answered. This is down to brass tacks. And this question of looking at your vaccine card, please don't get confused. Some of you are writing stuff here that is not making contact with the point that I'm making.